Suspected and known terrorists who are on our terrorist watch list can walk into a gun store and buy a gun. No questions asked. If you're on a terrorist watch list, you shouldn't be able to waltz into a gun store and purchase as many deadly weapons as you like.
All right, Senator Chuck Schumer, among those on the Hill complaining about various aspects of the gun issue, and a lot of this goes back to the Boston bombing, even, believe it or not. So here we are at the beginning of another week on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. We're going to swing into a couple of things here right off the get-go, but the Sunday swirl on the news programs, it really was all about how the handling of the bombing went down, from the failure to identify the Schnardov brothers as threats to the decision to read the surviving suspect a Miranda warning after 16 hours of being questioned, worried that he would slip away because of a legal technicality. That's a pretty big one. Tokar Tsarnaev is still in custody, of course, but Senator Dan Coats, for example, said he was surprised they moved as quickly as they did, that we have legal reasons and follow-up investigation reasons to drag this out a bit longer. We could have done that. But would that have been the right thing to do? Senator Joe Manchin even called it pulling the trigger too soon in delivering the Miranda warning to the surviving alleged bomber. Interesting, isn't it? But there was some praise heaped on the FBI that is getting battered and bruised as an organization all over the place. It was Congressman Pete King who said they did a great job in solving it after the attack. But there's always that but. They didn't do a full investigation when they were asked to look into Tamerlan Tsarnaev, the older brother who died after the firefight, of course, with the cops, which, by the way, is on video. Somebody leaned out a window and filmed the two brothers shooting back at the police, kind of freaky looking. They're behind the car and they're shooting. And you can see that. You can see that in the photographs. Man, now you are, I mean, everything's visible. And clearly it was both of them. And then the other thing is that people are talking about is the traveling to Russia not being flagged. Of course, we've talked about that a ton on America Tonight, the clerical error, the misspelling of the name, and how the information was shared and reviewed, and who double-checked it. And people want to know that. And I think I want to know that. I think you want to know that. I want to know the rest of the story in this case, the real rest of the story. What happened? Russia says, hey, look at this guy. He's radicalized Islamic after he goes to the mosque over in Chechnya, and he's out in the woods playing the boogeyman to kill Americans or other Westerners, learning how to set off bombs and how to build them for hardly any money whatsoever, these pressure cooker bombs that are so deadly, and we just dropped the ball on that whole thing. What about Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano? It was just last week that she said that we learned about the fact that he left the country despite the typo. So which is it? We learned, we didn't know, we interrogated, the interrogator was a rookie. I mean, what is it we knew? What did we miss? How do you miss this? How do you miss what a foreign intelligence service tells you is, hello, we don't even have to guess at this. You need to look at this guy because he's dangerous. We think he's dangerous. How could you not connect those dots? I think that's, of all the things that came out of Boston, I think that's the one thing all of us want to know, right? Or maybe I'm wrong. What do you think? 855-266-5283. I know you're awake. 855-266-5283. Or you can flip me an email at americatonight.net. americatonight.net. I think Congressman Jason Sheppard said the best thing to say when he said anyone traveling back to their home country after being granted asylum might raise a few red flags. But, you know, here's the problem. how much surveillance do we think we should ultimately allow when it comes to the federal government coming in and surfing through Facebook pages, going through Google? How much of that do we want to say is okay? And I would say that we want to be really careful about that and making that connection. And in fact, there's already a bill in the works to force Facebook and Google and others to allow immediate access in some cases to that information that now they would protect. And the problem is, send out that helium balloon, somebody knocks it down to Earth, and then we're all going to be screaming about our rights being trampled on. Because we go back to the same thing. How dedicated are we against thwarting terrorism? We know you can't 100% do that. And what are we willing to give up, if anything, to make America safer? And even as that leaves my lips, I know it's almost a ridiculous statement, we live in a free country. Land of the free, home of the brave. And even all of us that are brave get a little bit frightened by some of the nonsense that we hear and some of the conversation. To me, the most frightening thing is I believe that he could have been stopped. It would have been one of these things where you hear, wow, there were two brothers out of Boston. One was this wrestler who had all this potential. One was this other kid who went to the University of Massachusetts. Suddenly they were disillusioned. They were planning to set off some bombs at the Boston Marathon, but thanks to the FBI and some quick thinking and whatever, we were able to stop them. Unfortunately, for all the people who were injured and their families, and sadly, the people that were killed at the Boston Marathon, we can't say that. We have to say that resourcefulness was not in play, at least when it came to the questioning of Tamerlan. It couldn't have been, because how do you miss that? How do you get pointed out several times, the guy's radicalized, and then come away saying, nah, I think he's okay, because he talked like a goofball 25-year-old, well, 24-year-old, I guess, at the time, and played American music, had an iPod, talked about wrestling, whatever. I mean, what was the intel that somehow didn't show that there was something that was dangerous with him? There should be some blowback to this, I think, with the FBI. There should be. So, you know, innocent citizens in the U.S. are part of this nonsense. So now we have collateral damage because of a miss, I believe, by maybe the lack of sharing information or somebody just not doing their job. Who knows? We don't know the whole story here. And trust me, I've tried to knock down those walls, and nobody's very forthcoming on that. Hang with us. We're flipping it to the other side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play the music. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me.
All right, time for a little news that you can abuse here on the show. I think that with everything that we have that's so serious going on in the world, we need a little levity, perhaps, maybe at the expense of others, like this one. How many of you have ever ridden in an ambulance? How many of you would like to never ride in an ambulance? I, myself, would like to never ride in an ambulance. Matt, how about you? Have you ever had a trip in an ambulance being hauled off to a hospital somewhere?
I have not, fortunately, had to do that because, one, that means you got some kind of serious injury, or and two, you're going to have a pretty large bill.
Exactly. Ding, ding, ding. Speaking of large bills, a South Carolina woman was arrested after they discovered she called 911 at least 100 times in the past 7 years to get rides into Charleston. The problem is she would fake illnesses and she would sign out of hospitals when she arrived. She would be picked up by an ambulance every single time. She didn't have a car. So she expected Medicaid to pick up the tab for the ambulance bills. Matt said the magic words, how much do you want to pay for that ride? Each one of the trips costs $425 plus mileage. Taxpayers might have had to pay a bill of more than $400,000 to cover expenses that aren't covered by Medicaid, is what they're saying. So she's now charged with unlawful use of 911 and filling out a false police report. Wow. So they say she had vague medical complaints, abdominal pain, that kind of stuff, but they picked her up. And that is a whole bunch of rides in 7 years. Somebody got wise and probably when she's calling in, said, oh, that's that woman that we have to go pick up, and then they decided to look into how many rides that she took. That's crazy. Mm. All right, speaking of crazy, or, I don't know, maybe a little glitzy, An 80-year-old Florida woman was the winner of a 1.3-carat diamond at a fundraiser last weekend, but it took a colonoscopy to recover the prize. She accidentally swallowed it. So check this out. Miriam Tucker is her name. She was at a charity event in Tampa Bay on April 20th. They charged $20 for a glass of champagne and a chance to win the jewel, which was appraised at $5,000. It was placed in one of the flutes of champagne. So the rest of the flutes had cubic zirconium at the bottom. I don't know if you had enough champagne, the cubic zirconium would probably look like the diamond. So she said she thought she had a bit of champagne, so she didn't, you know, she had already had enough of it, so she didn't stick her fingers far enough into the glass, I guess. And then she realized she swallowed it. So she was scheduled to have a colonoscopy a couple days later, and the doctor found the diamond. Oh, that's rough. I mean, there are a whole bunch of funny things I could say here, but I'm going to save it. I'm going to save the punchline. Just think. Use your imagination. I know. I am positive some of you are awake, and you probably have a much funnier punchline than I could think of, although I have to say I have a few. We go from diamonds and the woman in Florida and her situation to a giant egg laid by now-extinct elephant bird. It's sold at an auction for $104,000 plus in London. It's extremely rare. It's a partially fossilized egg. It's 100 times the size of a chicken egg, and it's nearly 9 inches wide and 12 inches high. The ostrich-like bird lived in Madagascar before the 17th century and was the largest bird at the time. It weighed more than 1,000 pounds and is believed to have been hunted to extinction. So an unidentified bidder purchased the egg for more than twice the expected price. I mean, all I have to say about that is, what are you doing with this giant egg? What are you going to do? How are you displaying that? How are you displaying the giant egg in your house? And to really do it justice, I guess, I don't know. It seems like crazy extravagance. Of course, if you have a lot of money, you can be crazy and extravagant. A New Jersey principal banned strapless dresses at a junior high school dance because they would be distracting to boys. But it's enraged parents who are saying this should be reversed. It violates the daughter's constitutional rights. The dress code shreds the 14th Amendment. I'm laughing because it's unbelievable what we can stand behind. To equal protection, since girls for the past 6 years have been wearing sleeveless fashions to the dance. It's at a place called Reddington Middle School in Reddington Township, New Jersey. Parents petitioned the school board to overturn the policy before the June 12th dance. The school's principal said in a letter last month that a dress with straps was the only style that would be allowed. And she said it's just too inappropriate. The Reddington Township School District said in a statement that it has a policy regarding dress code. So they can't do it. They're not supposed to do it because it's too distracting. Wow. What's interesting here is a teenager wrote a letter to the principal saying, "I will be attending the dinner dance function, but I will also be wearing a dress with no straps." So you might have a couple of people that are going to go rogue, and a couple of these girls are going to wear the dresses anyway. They're going to do it anyway. Here's a strange headline. If you saw this, I suppose you would think it's strange. A Mormon bishop used a samurai sword to what? Defend a neighbor. It happened in Salt Lake City, as you can imagine. He was armed with a samurai sword, as I said. It came to the defense of the next-door neighbor by helping to chase away a man who had accosted a woman. The 37-year-old suspect was stunned. Grant Eggerston turned himself into a to the cops and was booked into jail on suspicion of robbery, burglary, trespassing, and stalking. He was stalking the neighbor. The samurai sword-wielding bishop, Kent Hendricks, said his son alerted him that a woman neighbor was in trouble. So he approached the woman when she got out of her house. He grabbed her house keys, tried to get into the house. The woman ran away screaming for help, and several neighbors responded. He teaches martial arts, by the way, so he feels comfortable with the samurai sword, which he, by the way, keeps next to his bed. He ran to help her, and he said when he came face-to-face with the suspect, the man stopped in his tracks. He was taken aback to have the sword drawn on him, and he jumped back. He said, "I'm leaving." He turned. He ran. And the bishop ran after him. He said he didn't want him to get away. Then he got into his car, and then he turned himself in. How about that? Not expecting that somebody was going to come with a sword and tell him to get out of there. But, hey, it worked. It worked, and it scared him, and it scared him enough that he decided that he was going to get caught. And he needed to go to them first, and that's exactly what he did. All right, quickly, cloth diapers. Who wears those anymore? It was a world record, a turnout for a record-breaking event. The Great Cloth Diaper Change took place in the Ontario Early Years Center last weekend. A record turnout of more than 30 people who changed their child's cloth diaper. Just 30, wow. 30 people last year, just 10 people showed up. So now it is a world record in the Guinness books. I would imagine that would be easy to shatter. Some charity ought to jump on this because I thought it would be much more. 30 people using the cloth diapers, changing the babies, make it into the Guinness Book of World Records. For all the people who want to crack records, this might be the best chance you ever have. Forget about starving yourself or chewing gum. Have an entire gym full of people chewing gum at one time for however many hours. Here is an easy one that you could nail. Get enough people together with cloth diapers and you will shatter that record, my friend.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at herbalhealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at herbalhealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term
long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free, a 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to efoodsdirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply, be in control, be self-sufficient, and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
So, a natural disaster strikes, and out goes your power. You risk losing stored food in electric freezers and refrigerators. Your options: lose all that expensive food and medication, fire up a noisy gasoline-powered generator, or switch now to a propane or natural gas-powered refrigerator from Ben's Discount Supply. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com has a complete line of propane-powered refrigerators. Freezers in sizes ranging from a small camper cooler size up to a whopping 21 cubic foot refrigerator freezer or a 22 cubic foot deep freezer. In stock and ready to ship anywhere. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com also stocks a full line of solar-powered appliances to get you completely off the grid. Check out Ben'sDiscountSupply.com or call 800-771-7702. That's 800-771-7702. Or click Ben'sDiscountSupply.com for camping, home, or bug-out location. Bank on Ben'sDiscountSupply.com.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday, and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L, and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
Walks further down the street, ooh, way down low. No sound but the sound of speed. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip. To the sound of the beat, yeah. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust.
All right, imagine this. Folks, this is going to be our daily salute. I'm going to just tell you right up front. You're on a vacation, brother and sister in St. Lucia, and you're on a fishing trip. Sounds fun. My brother and I would go fishing when we were kids, sometimes for bluefish way out in the ocean off of the coast of Cape May, New Jersey. And you're away, and you've got here's the setup. You have the brother who's from San Francisco. You have the sister who's from Seattle. And they are work. So they're going to take this vacation together. They get out on the boat, and this sounds cool. The brother has always wanted to marlin fish. So he is wrestling with a 200-pound marlin in some really rough seas. And his sister is trying to help him. And it's April 21st. It's about, noontime, right? He's reeling in the fish, trying to reel it in. Water starts rushing into the cabin, and it floods the engine room. Oof, flooding the engine room is never good, as we know from the giant floating barges where people eat on those cruises. And then ultimately sometimes end up being towed in when the engine room gets flooded or there's a fire in the engine room. So once the engine room floods, you're stuck. You're SOL, right? The captain tries to radio for help. He's yelling their coordinates out, all that stuff. Ultimately, he throws life preservers to the brother and sister, and the Suzukis is their name, and tells them, jump. Jump out of the boat. So they do. I mean, they jump out of the boat. They jump in. The captain and the first mate dive off the boat, too. 5 minutes later, the boat sinks. They were 8 miles from shore. The waves were twice their size. So you know what those ocean swells are like. They're tossing them all over the place. The captain yells, "Try to stay together. We'll just try to stay together and wait." So they waited for about an hour, and of course no one came. Who knows if they even heard their coordinates when he was on the out on the mic trying to radio for help. So they were saying, "Let's swim. If they're coming, they'll find us. We can't stay here." They started to swim, and the brother-sister tandem lost sight of the captain and the first mate, of course, because you have these big swells, and they're being dragged in different directions. And then they really get lost. They can't even see land, and it starts to rain. And all you see is gray, swells and gray. They could see a plane and a helicopter off in the distance, but they didn't, you know, nobody spotted them. Hours and hours go by, the sun starts to set, and that's pretty dire. Can you imagine that? You've got to be thinking about, are we going to drown? Are we going to be, what am I thinking, eaten by a shark? Are we going to die? Hypothermia. The legs start to cramp up. It becomes impossible to swim. So check this out. They swam for 12 to 14 hours, and they're shivering, and they're just pushing, and they're trying to ignore things that are popping up in their head, like movies, like Open Water. Remember the Open Water movie? A scuba diving couple leave the group, and they're attacked by sharks, and the sister said the entire time she was so scared she just wanted to vomit all over the place, all over the ocean. And they finally come to about 30 feet of land, and they realized they couldn't get out of the water. And they couldn't get out of the water because there were sheer cliffs coming into the ocean, so they knew they'd get crushed. So then they thought they should try to reach the rocks anyway, so what do they do? So they're discussing it, exhausted, everything else, and they just kept swimming, and they see a little tiny bit of sand, and they made it to land. They just collapse. They couldn't even walk. It was past midnight. And they didn't see any homes because, of course, they could barely see. And then they got to try to stay warm. They have to hike. And they hiked inland a little bit. And they laid in the grass and they tried to cover themselves up to stay warm because all they had on were bathing suits. And they heard a stream, but they decided they were going to wait till daylight to make sure it was safe to drink. So when the sun came up, they started their hike again through this thick brush and picked up some mangoes and whatever to eat along the way. And maybe 3 hours into it, a farm worker sees them, gives them crackers, water, waits. The cops come, and they asked about the captain and the mate, and they didn't find them. They hadn't seen news. They hadn't seen anything. They were so dehydrated. The captain and the mate, though, were rescued 23 hours in the water. Oh, St. Lucia's tourism minister said it was a miracle. It is a miracle. I mean, what caused the ship to sink? Was it the dragging the marlin around? Was it something to do with the boat or whatever? I mean, can you imagine what it would be like to be in that situation? Nathan, can you imagine being in the water, nothing around you? You have absolutely no idea where you are, really, because you lose your sense, and now you're in the dark, you're going through all those things, and you just are just trying to survive.
No, give me the snow, man. Give me the snow.
That's what I say, too. Give me land. Give me land, not water. I mean, it was so bad. They had cuts on their feet, tendonitis from swimming, abrasions from life jackets, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, they're flying back to Miami. So what an ordeal. I mean, what a crazy ordeal. And it's thank goodness that they survived it. I mean, that's just one of those moments in life that you have to say it's like a miracle. Because some people might even give up. You know, you're exhausted. You're trying to fight the waves. You can't see anything. It's and that's all you can do. All you can do is just keep trying to push through. All right, I like to call this section odds and ends because I want to fill in the blanks on a few other things. That story is pretty interesting. But how about the Senate bill? And this, of course, is one of my passions. If you ever listen to the show, who do I care about? Veterans. So many people in my family have served. I've seen what's happened with other people who have served. And nothing makes me more upset than lack of attention to the people who have sacrificed ultimately so much to keep us the land of the free and the home of the brave, right? So there's a Senate bill that's supposed to help the veterans. And the goal is, and we had people on in the very beginning of this, the goal is to end homelessness by 2015. End it. That was the theme. Do whatever we can. Get transitional housing. Put ex-service folks into a process to help others who are out there on the street and end the cycle. Provide incentives. Do something and get more funding to try to help, you know, even though our budgets are ridiculous, to try to help the people who helped us. And the VA secretary, his name is Eric Shensky, pledged in 2009 to pull all the veterans off the street by 2015. And they've been very aggressive about it. I say bravo to this because they've slashed homelessness by 17%. You know, can you have an exact head count? No, but what they could find out is 62,000 vets are homeless. So that's a pretty ambitious deadline, but they're trying to do it. They're trying to figure out housing. They're trying to partner with private people to help and get more vets off the street. Like I said, is there anything worse than seeing that? I mean, get them off the streets, find jobs, all that kind of stuff. It's very heartbreaking to see that, I think. And let's hope that this incredible goal is even close to being met. I mean, 17% is not close to the ultimate goal. It's not, you know, it's got a long way to go, but at least somebody's doing something. That's a good initiative. If we're going to spend money, let's spend it where we're really helping people, where we can really see the results. All right, I just got this from a friend of mine a while ago because I've been hammering them, and nobody knows for sure, but he works for let's just say, no-name congressperson. And they're talking about what's going to happen with immigration, you know, this whole immigration bill. And I guess they're really pushing toward having the reform proposal starting in the beginning of May and getting a vote for it instead of, you know, they're working on that step-by-step process, and they're trying to separate bills with all these different elements and just make something that works. It's supposed to include a pathway to citizenship, but that's a sticking point in the overhaul of immigration laws, because what does the pathway look like? How do you get people who have been living under the wire to guesstimate, come up with a guesstimate of what they would owe in back taxes and all that other stuff? So the Gang of Eight isn't even agreeing on everything, even though there are many things that they agree upon, that something has to be done, blah, blah, blah. But it looks like there may really be a vote on this. How about that? And I'm surprised, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, look, no doubt, it's a broken system. But de facto amnesty, yeah. You know, there's so many problems with trying to tinker with this. That's why I gave you that example of what happens when you actually put something in play, like ending veterans and homelessness. You have initiatives, you pull people off the street, you put them in a direction, you put the money behind it, and it's actually working. Let's see something that actually works, and in a horrible scenario where even our borders really aren't 100% safe. Hang with us.
Start Start life over. Spend more quality time with your family. Take more vacations. Own your own business. Be healthy and earn the kind of income you've always dreamed of. Is it possible? Yes, with Youngevity. First, you've got to see the video that is turning the medical industry upside down. Go to HealthyBody13.com. That's HealthyBody13.com. Watch this video, then pre-register for the Spring Youngevity Convention May 2nd through 4th in Las Vegas, Nevada. And guess who will be there?
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And I prescribe the Healthy Body Challenge, and I'll be there.
Hi, I'm Steve Schultz, Vice President of Training here at Youngevity. I'm taking the Healthy Body Challenge, and I'll be there.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, President of the Genesis Communications Network. I'm taking the Healthy Body Challenge, and I'm going to be there.
Take the Healthy Body Challenge, and don't miss the Youngevity Convention in Las Vegas, Nevada, May 2nd through 4th. For more information, go to HealthyBody13.com or call 1-800-360-8695. That's 800-360-8695.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Bills in front of Congress right now could take away your right to keep and bear arms. If Obama has his way, all guns will be either banned, restricted, or confiscated, possibly by executive order. The best way to keep your guns is to hide them. What Obama can't find, Obama can't take away. You can protect your guns from any threat. Download our special report, How to Hide Your Guns, at GoHideYourGuns.com. Learn how to hide your guns while keeping them readily available. Get the report now before they make us take it down. On the web at GoHideYourGuns.com.
Sergeant Dave Scott, Army Search and Rescue veteran, wants you to hear this urgent message. All emergencies have casualties, but in America, most casualties from storms like Katrina and Sandy only happen because good people were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Don't let that happen to you. Visit yourbugoutplan.com on the web. Watch a free video presentation of the skills you need to be long gone before any disaster can touch you. You owe it to yourself and to your family to watch this. Head to yourbugoutplan.com on the web right now, yourbugoutplan.com.
Topping weekend count. Pretty interesting news. Maybe not a surprise. America's blacks voted much higher, the higher rate than other minority groups in 2012. And wait till you hear the numbers. Had people voted last November at the same rates as they did in 2004, when the black turnout was below its current historic levels, Republican Mitt Romney would have won narrowly. This was an analysis that was done for the Associated Press, so they've released all the information, and the census data and the exiting polls show that whites and blacks remain the two largest racial groups of eligible voters for the next decade. Last year's heavy black turnout came despite a lot of concern about the new voter identification law. Some were saying that this was hitting minorities unfairly and it outweighed the desire to, you know, might have outweighed by some the desire to reelect the first black president. In fact, William Fry, this is who they use, the AP, a demographer at the Brookings Institute, looked at the 2012 election data on eligible voters and turnout, and he says the total votes for Obama and Romney under a scenario where 2012 turnout rates for all racial groups matched those in 2004, right? Overall, 2012 voter turnout was roughly 58%, so down from 62%, by the way, in 2008, and 60% in 2004. They say that the population projections show that the shares of eligible voters by race, the group through 2013, so the numbers were also thrown in with the Pew Research Center and some others when it talked, when like George Mason University, because they're the so-called leaders of voter turnout material, and they looked at all the levels, and they found a tipping point for blacks who, for most of America's history, were not the heavy voters and were barred from voting until the Voting Rights Act in 1965. But certainly, of course, that's all changed around. But isn't that interesting that Romney would have erased Obama's 5 million vote win margin and narrowly won the popular vote if voters had turned out as they did in 2004? The white turnout was slightly higher and black voting was lower in 2004. So battleground states like Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Florida, Colorado would have gone in favor of Romney handing him the presidency if the outcome of the other states remained the same. Wow. Isn't that interesting? The numbers are interesting. We knew they were somewhere skewed in there, but I think actually seeing how they analyzed it and came up with that, what a difference that would have made. See, the whole voter turnout thing was huge. A Tupelo, Mississippi man is accused of sending ricin-tainted letters to President Obama. Sound familiar? It's not the Elvis guy, right? And he's going to appear in court on Monday. James Everett Dutschke is supposed to be in court in Oxford. It's not clear about the appearance and all that other stuff, except for the fact that he's been charged with possession and use of a biological agent as a weapon in connection with that investigation into the president and Senator Roger Wicker and Sadie Holland, who's a judge in Lee County, Mississippi. We do know that ricin is a deadly toxin, and there is no antidote. So no illnesses were reported. That's the good thing. Remember, I said that initially when all this happened, but it is so deadly. So in the end, you still have somebody from Mississippi accused of this, and they went into his house and they searched his martial arts studio, and I guess they found what they were looking for. Otherwise, they couldn't have come up with those charges. At the tail end of the week, that was the thought that he was involved in it. How about this? Boy, this is sad when you hear this and you worry about this so much, whether it's speeding or something else in pursuit of a suspect. But a Georgia teenager died after being hit by a police car. The kid was 14 years old, and he died Sunday morning. He was actually hit on his bicycle. He was coming out of a driveway. He was riding from one friend's house to another, is how the story goes. They say the officer couldn't avoid the accident, and he was so distraught after it. And of course, they're investigating because that's what they would do in any circumstance like that. But boy, you have to feel for the cop, and you have to feel for that family too. And the fact that where he pulled out and how he pulled out, they said there wasn't anything that he could do, and it didn't have anything to do with. There was like an erroneous report that it had something to do with speed. Because sometimes when there are chases in pursuit of a suspect, there's concern over what the police are doing and whether or not they're using excessive speeds and putting people in danger. But that had nothing to do with it, you know, whatsoever. It simply was a case of he darted out of a driveway and it was a traffic accident that he could not avoid. How about this? The Army saying no to more tanks. Boy, when was the last time you can recall the Army saying that? They're saying no to tanks, but Congress is saying yes to tanks. So both parties have devoted about $1 billion in taxpayer money over the past 2 years to build some improved versions of what they call the 70-ton Abrams. If you're a military aficionado, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's crazy because it's the inverse of the federal budget, how it is now, and the automatic spending cuts and who's left in the lurch and, you know, who's not. But in the Abrams tank deal, there's bipartisan push to spend that extra $436 million on a weapon the experts say is not needed, that, you know, even the general, one of the main generals said that if we had our choice, we would use that money in a different way. But the production line is rolling, and that's it. I guess part of it is because they have some people that are in some districts where the tanks suppliers are. So think about the jobs. And that's why the tank dollars would flow, right? Because they don't want to see those jobs go away. And if you're not improving on the tanks, you're not pumping out more of those tanks, then all that money, which is a pretty big, heavy dollar, would be gone, and those people wouldn't have those jobs. Before the explosions, polling suggested the Massachusetts voters weren't excited about the special election to replace former Senator John Kerry. Things have changed. After the bombs ripped through the Marathon, politicians now are kind of back on the map. There were primary contests and all that other stuff, and that was all put on hold because who cared about campaigning? Now you've got U.S. Congressman Ed Markey, who's competing against U.S. Congressman Stephen Lynch for the Democratic nomination to replace Kerry, who, of course, is now the Secretary of State. So they suspended the politics for a week, and the candidates had to kind of avoid all of that, the sensitivity of it. But now the landscape has changed. Now people are asking questions. They want to know what the politicians think about Mirandizing. They want to know about what they think about security, homeland security, and all that kind of stuff. So the Tuesday primary election, this shows you how much it takes even to get a spot on the Hill. Markey outspent Lynch on TV advertising, $1.7 million to $1.2 million. And they tried to kind of use the moments of what happened to not to address the bombings, but talk about now the problems that face the folks in Massachusetts. That, boy, that would be a hard turn to make, wouldn't it? Mm. But where do they get all this money? Lots of fundraisers, I'm assuming, right? $1.7 million. How about that? And we're talking about a primary. Woo! Any thoughts on the show? Send them to me, americatonight.net.
A simple question for you. Can you sell? Yes? Okay. Can you sell the intangible? If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable and a whiz on the phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise@gcnlive.com. Again, that's advertise@gcnlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.